Amen. Matthew chapter 7, if you found your place, would you stand with us? As we honor the reading of the Word of the Lord together. I'll start with verse number 1, the liberal's favorite verse. Now, they don't know where it's at in the Bible. They just know it's in there somewhere. Probably 25 times, they think. Amen. I say it so they don't know if it's in the book of 1 Hezekiah or 2 Opinions. They're not sure which. But they know it's in there somewhere. Verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 7. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? You look up that word behold, it means why are you magnifying that little thing in his eye and you're not even paying any attention to that big thing that's in your life? Jesus says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. By the way, when I read this back a few years ago, preached through this, I noticed he says, out, 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 out in verse number 5. Look at it. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine eye, thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. He does want the mote out of your brother's eye. He does. He wants it out. But he wants it out of your eye. That big beam. Amen. Verse number 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again to rend you. And that verse looks like goes right straight contrary to what verse number 1 said. He said there's some things you're going to have to make judgments about. Amen. You need some discernment. Amen. You need some discrimination. I know that's become a bad word, but amen. You need to be able to discern and say some things are just not right. Verse number 7, here's where I really want to get. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. For what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Let's pray and then you can be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. We spoke about it already. We enjoyed last night. Lord, there was the presence of God was thick in here last night. I believe the presence of God's still thick in here today. Lord, I do believe there's probably at least one, probably more than one, that you're dealing with about salvation and about surrender. Lord, I believe you're dealing with some of us about giving up our own will that we might have revival like Brother Moyes preached, that we might live holy like Brother Babcock preached. Lord, I believe you want to encourage your people, and Lord, you want us to go forward for you. I pray, Father, you'd bless in this time. I pray you'd use Brother Goodman after me. Lord, I pray help us not to get weary in well-doing, but help us to stay attuned and faithful to listen and heed the Word of God. Help us not to be hearers only, but doers. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach on prayer, if I can, this morning just a little bit. I don't have a lot of time. I want to deal with it. It's a big subject. I know it's common. Well, we've all heard about prayer. And every preacher preaches about how y'all be faithful to church, how y'all read your Bible, and how y'all pray, right? Those are things we just cover again and again. You know why? Because people are not faithful to church, people don't read their Bible, and people don't pray. Amen. Really, that's the truth. But in this text, there's three things about prayer that I'll touch, and I'm going to deal with one of them, if I can, by the help of God. There's the call to prayer. There's the call to prayer, first of all. Then there's the character of prayer, as he tells us something about how we're to approach God. And then there's the covenant of prayer. There's promises. Amen. If we'll pray. I want to deal with that second one, if I can, and that the character of prayer, and speak just a few minutes about that, if the Lord would help us. Now, look, I don't have time to go back chapters 5 and 6. You know that Matthew, this we call this the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 are one sermon of our Lord. You think we preach long, you ought to listen to the Lord sometime. And this ain't all of it. This is just what God inspired to be preserved as a portion of our Lord's sermon. Personally, I believe this is the first sermon that our Lord preached to His disciples. It's the first recorded sermon that we have. And I believe it's perhaps the first sermon. And again, He mentions prayer in the sermon. He mentions a lot of things. In chapter number 5, He talks about prayer. We have what's known as the model prayer. Our Lord gives us that in chapter number 6. And He talks a lot again and again about prayer. But He comes back to chapter number 7 and He deals with prayer again. And so I don't have to rehearse all the things that are given in those. He gives us counsels and he gives us contrasts. How that His saying is different than the Pharisee's saying and all those things. We're dealing with the council of prayer here in this text. And He's talking about the call to prayer, as I said, and the character of prayer and the covenant of prayer. But if you'll just look in the context that I read, verses 1 through 6, you'll notice that our Lord's led up to this fact that we need to pray. There are a lot of demands on the Christian life that physically, humanly, are impossible. Amen. It's talked about all over and over. Probably every preacher talks about we're going to have trouble in the Christian life. The devil's going to do his best to come against us. You think it's bad when just Nancy Pelosi's against us? Amen. I mean, we get all upset because the Democrats are against us, when in reality, it's a whole lot more than just the Democrats. Matter of fact, the Republicans are against us. Amen. Matter of fact, the whole devil's crowd is against us. Amen. And there's a lot of things in this world that we're going to have to face that are humanly impossible. And so our Lord said about this thing about judging, He said, He does not say never pass any judgment, but it's don't be incomplete in your judgment. Don't be inconsistent in your judgment. Gather the facts when you make the judgment. Make sure that when you're noticing that little beam in your brother's eye, by the way, he needs that beam out. But he needs somebody to be able to help him get that beam out. And the only people that can help him are those that are not blinded by some big beam in their own eye. So how am I? And by the way, that is in us. It's been said again and again. It is in us. It's not just something that comes upon us. It's not just something that gets in front of us. Those things, that mote is in the eye. That beam is in the eye. Are you listening to me? Yeah. How am I going to help my brother with his mote? I'm going to have to pray. Yeah. Amen. Amen. How am I going to get that big beam out of my own eye? I'm going to have to pray. And so there's a call to prayer. Amen. He not only says that we're going to be walking in this world full of motes and beams, He said there are dogs and there are hogs in our world that care nothing about holiness. Amen. Have no appetite for the things of God. Amen. They'll bite the hand that feeds them, He says. Amen. We know about that, don't we? He said you're going to have to be careful in the world you're walking in. It's a world filled with motes and beams. By the way, those are in you. But surrounding you are a bunch of dogs and hogs. Now that doesn't mean that everybody doesn't need the gospel. But it means there's some people, there comes a time you've got to discern, I'm not fooling with him anymore. Amen. I'm not going to cast my pearls before the swine. Amen. There comes a time they've crossed the line. And by the way, that's not just sodomites. There's cults. They get their minds so twisted they will never hear the truth. Amen. If they don't have a heart that's hungry for the truth, you might as well quit trying to feed them the truth. Amen. It is hard. I hate that. I wish that we could just reach everybody with the gospel, but and by the way, it's getting more and more and more. They talked about letting the sodomites out of the closet. I'm going to tell you what happened. When you remove that gate from the bottomless pit, you let more than just one devil out. You let all kinds of demons out of there. Amen. And they're infiltrating our country and our world, by the way. Amen. And it's getting more and more rapid and more and more rapid. That's right. And so what are we going to do? I'll tell you what we better do. We better start asking God for some help. Yeah. Amen. We better start seeking God for some help. Yeah. Amen. And I'm talking about even with our own family. Yeah. Amen. In our own churches and all around. He's talking about some precise judgments that's going to have to be made. Some spiritual discernments that's going to have to be made. And it is impossible from a purely human perspective. That means we're going to have to pray. There's that call. He encourages us to come to God in prayer. What we're doing, this whole thing, listen. Giving out the gospel is not just routine work, it is spiritual work. Preaching the gospel is not just performance, it is a spiritual work. Amen. Hey, them old timers didn't know much about alliterated sermons. No. He didn't know a whole lot about having point one, point two, sub point A, sub point B. He didn't know about a lot of that stuff. Amen. I tell you what they did know. They knew about getting on their knees and getting a hold of God and having a burden and having tears and men concerned about sinners. Amen. They knew something about holy living. They knew something about a spiritual work. Amen. God help us get back to that spiritual work. Amen. Amen. And that spiritual work's going to require some spiritual exertion. And that comes in the form of prayer. Amen. It demands a spiritual knowledge. Amen. If we're going to apply it, we've got to have some spiritual knowledge. And there's going to have to be a spiritual desire for assistance. Amen. And as I said, I don't have time to go over all this and deal with all, but I want to talk about this character. You've heard an old saying about we're between a rock and a hard place. This whole Christian life has got to be navigated. It's going to get more like this. Navigated in a hard place. Between a rock and a hard place. And we're going to need spiritual guidance. What's a good thing when God saves a man? He gives him a spiritual guide. That's part of the job of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I believe it's Brother Babcock talking about he immediately starts conforming us to the image of Christ. He guides us into all truth. Amen. He starts leading us and guiding us. Amen. I believe it was Brother Pitt that's talking about and said that he did before he got saved, he had no spiritual appetite for the things of God, had no spiritual love for the house of God. But when something happened that came in that package, that is the work of the Holy Ghost. But if we don't be careful, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll harden ourselves towards God. We'll loosen ourselves. And that Brother Babcock, we will conform more and more to this world. And we'll give in more and more to the flesh. God help us. Yes. The stronger you make the fleshly man, the weaker you're making the spiritual man. That's why we need to pray. Amen. So Jesus, when they get, I can just imagine these disciples sitting there with their mouth open and saying, this is a hard saying. Our Lord had several of them, you know. They're saying, this is a hard saying. Lord, how are we going to do this? Our Lord says, here's how to handle it. He says, ask and it shall be given you. Amen. What a blessing prayer is. Amen. When I get to the place, I say, I don't know what to do.
Right.
Amen. Last night, Brother Shock, I didn't know. I just sat there. I didn't know what to do. I knew you didn't need everybody gathered around you. I didn't know what to do when you was going through whatever it was you was going through. Amen. For attention. I didn't know. I didn't know what to do. And I was praying. And listen, and prayer is what to do when you don't know what to do. Amen. Pastor and brother, you'll hit it more than one time. You'll go to somebody's bed and you don't know what to say. Sometimes you don't need to say anything. It's not what to say, what to do. I tell you what to do. Have some communication with God. Amen. Amen. What a privilege prayer is. Amen. What a blessing prayer is when we don't know. You know what asking's for? It's when you got questions. When you don't know all the answers, go to somebody that does. Hallelujah. Amen. Just ask them a little something about it. Amen. And that's what he's talking about here in this character of prayer. Amen. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. So he gives us, not only tells us what to do, but he tells us how to do it. And I got 7 points and I'm going to do my best to hit the first three and I'll quit. By the help of God. I'll give you these first three. And I believe they're so succinct right here in this, because there's three things he said: ask, seek, and knock. And I won't deal with those other verses that do get in that. I'll touch them. First of all, I'm talking about how we approach God. Number one, we must approach Him humbly. Amen. Somebody said it. I think it's Brother Moyes. I'm not sure. You know how things start running together, but how we need a revival of humility, and maybe that's what he said. We do in our country today. Amen. Listen. It's not just the charismatics that preachers that think that they're God. We've got some independent Baptist preachers think they're God. Amen. Amen. Brother Kirkman asked me some time ago, Brother Sutton, he asked me about a certain situation. He said, do those people have no fear of God? This is what I told him. I believe God gave me this. When you think you are God, you have no fear of God. And sometimes the people feed into that. Amen. Sometimes the people feed into that by telling them how great they are. Amen. We got to remember, listen, I'm up here on this podium. I'm higher than you are, but it's not because I'm higher. It's because this book's higher. Amen. This calling's higher. Amen. What I'm doing, the preaching of the Word of God, that's what's higher. It's not me. Amen. Brother Bob Van Giller said this years ago, and I never forgot it. He said, you're looking at the Bible every single time that the word man of God's found, it's always the capital G, but it's always the lowercase M. Amen. Amen. There comes times we don't know what to do. I say, what we better do, we better ask. But when we ask humbly. That's admitting we don't have all the answers. Lord, I got these children you've given me. How in the world do I raise children? You know, God only gives children, those first babies, God always gives them to people that have no experience. And the people that do have experience have all already grown soft. They're grandparents now. Amen. So, listen, and so don't necessarily go to grandma and grandpa and say, how do I raise this kid? Because they raised you. You see how you turned out. Go to God. I didn't mean that funny. But go to God. There's somebody you can ask. Amen. When you don't know what to do. Lord, how do I deal with this problem? How do I answer this question? Ask, he said. Amen. Just ask. Amen. And I believe we come to God with a question. Lord, I need some help. I've got questions. Lord, I'm humbling myself before God. That's the first position of prayer. By the way, when we use that scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, what's number one? Shall humble themselves. Amen. We ask humbly. Now, it's interesting. I read several different commentators that hit on this particular fact that the word ask in your King James Bible comes primarily, I'm talking about in the New Testament, from primarily two different Greek words. And one of them deals with asking as equals, a man to a man, a human to a human. And that's the word our Lord always used when He approached God. He was on His equal. But He never recommended we use that approach. We don't come to God with demands. Amen. Listen, I never demanded anything of my dad, and I never allowed my children to demand anything of me. Amen. They didn't tell me when they'd be home. Amen. I told them. Isn't that right? I didn't ask them, now when will you be home? Don't let that go over your head. I didn't ask them. They wasn't the parent. I was the parent. I was the one responsible. But that's how we come to God. We don't come to God demanding and acting like we got some power over God or we've got some way to twist God's arm behind His back. We come to God humbly in asking. Amen. Amen. One man said this, he said, asking in prayer means coming to the Lord as a beggar would approach a generous person. Amen. Amen. You remember that Pharisee and publican, they both went up to the house of God to pray, to the temple to pray. But one of them approached the wrong way. He approached so proud. He didn't ask for a thing, and he didn't get a thing either. Amen. He come praising God that He was so good, that He didn't have any needs, that He was rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. And He left with nothing. But the other man came, recognized he was poor, broke, that he was naked, unclothed, recognized he needed eyesight, recognized that he needed something from the Lord. Amen. And he asked and went away filled. Amen. So we've got to ask humbly. Number two, we've got to ask earnestly. The second word there is seek. Seek, that means doing more than just asking. That means looking for it. Amen. Looking for it. Doing more than just say it. Well, I prayed. I'll go on. I prayed now. That's all I got to do. No. Once you prayed, start looking for it. Amen. Start looking for the answers. Amen. That is the second step, I believe, in prayer. Not just asking. This entails a little bit more effort. Amen. Getting earnest after that thing. Putting forth some effort and some energy in this thing of seeking after God. Amen. This type of praying is more than just going through the motions. Than just reading over the prayer list. Amen. Than just spouting off a few names and a few words and a few flowery phrases. Amen. By the way, when we pray, and sometimes we do this in public particularly, When we pray, if you're focused on the form and the fashion and perhaps the flattery of the prayer, you're probably not really praying. You may be saying prayers. That's different than praying. Amen. So there's got to be a little bit of effort put in. He talks about the effectual, fervent prayer. Amen. Of a righteous man. That means putting a little bit more effort into it. I'm asking, but I'm not just asking. I'm digging. I am seeking. Amen. I'm looking, Lord. I'm trying to find the answer in the spiritual realm. Amen. I'm trying to find that answer. Amen. And then number three, my last one. We've got to pray believingly. And that's the word knock. Now here's what I noticed, Brother Jamie. I don't know how many times I've read this text and preached this text. But one day it dawned on me. If you got a knock on the door, that means that door is closed. It ain't an open door, Brother Shaw. There's a lot of things I wish is just an open door. But there's a lot of cases we come up on that the door is closed in front of us. But by faith, we don't accept a closed door. By faith, we knock on that door. Amen. Amen. By faith, we say, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. I've asked and I've sought and I still don't see the answer. The doors still look closed. Listen, that brother's still not saved. That loved one's still not saved. They're still out in sin. They're still on drugs. They're still whatever it is. Lord, the door looks like it's shut everywhere I go. I'll tell you what I do. Get back up there and knock again. Amen. At the house of God, at the throne of God, knock on His door again. Amen. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Amen. Don't listen. I know times are bad and I don't know when the Lord will come. One day He shall come. Hallelujah. Amen. But until He comes, let's keep on asking and seeking and knocking and don't quit. Looking for some answers from the Lord. Preacher, I'm done. That's quick. Amen.